This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Wells Tech. This is episode 552, recorded on June 7th, 2018, a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And not only are we recording on a Thursday, but one of us is recording from a brand new mobile recording studio. Hey, Sally. That would be the person I'm referring to.
Good morning, Martin. Yeah, I'm coming to you from Mary D. the RV, as we are 8 days out from going live with our location independence crazy idea. So
you've got to orient, for those of you that are viewing, you have to orient us a little bit. Where are you in the RV? You're not behind the wheel. I'm pretty confident, and
yeah,
it's not
I don't
moving.
Think you'll find me there very often at all. No, actually, believe it or not, I am in the bedroom of the RV. One of the things we liked about Mary D. She's an old RV, as RVs go, but the concept of remodeling or renovating was pretty easy to do because the people that had it before us had kind of changed up the bedroom already. We gutted the whole thing, and what you see behind me is actually our bed. We built a Murphy bed, a queen-size Murphy bed. So our desk folds down, our bed comes down at night, and then folds back up for work. What's cool about it is we really wanted to have the stand-up desk option. So I'm actually standing up, which maybe will make me a little more sharp for Wells Tech Podcast. Who knows?
If that's even possible.
Oh, yes. It's possible.
So tell us a little bit about your setup. Has anything changed other than the stand-up desk portion?
Well, equipment-wise, I'm using almost everything the same except for my internet connection. And for the internet, I'm actually using a mobile hotspot. I'm today on the AT&T Netgear Nighthawk hotspot, and I have an extra MIMO antenna connected to it to get some better signal coming in on it. And I'm really happy with what we're getting here. We have the option to use either Verizon or AT&T. We're paying for both for hotspots and testing, which I think we'll have to do at every location we move to. We found the AT&T to be smoking fast, and I was a little worried about the video, but I think video quality is really good, so I'm excited.
I would concur. So where is Mary D. physically?
Mary D. is right outside my sticks and bricks, they call it. Our house here in New Ulm, we are still transitioning, but next Friday is closing day, so we will be completely downsized and location independent as of June 15th.
Semi-location independent. You still have to, you live in the same rectangle, right?
Yes. Right? I think it's about 280 square feet. Yes.
Okay. So your own little tiny house.
That's right. On wheels.
On wheels. Well, congratulations. You're getting there.
Yeah.
So different kind of podcasting setup. I'm still in the same old location, although I wasn't here most of the past 7 days. I was down in Austin going to a workshop and visiting my son in the process. So kind of did a doubleheader there. Glad to be back, although it was nice. We always love going to Austin, Texas. Kind of a neat place to visit. I don't know if I'd ever want to live there. Traffic is horrendous, and temperatures were above 100 the whole time. And, you know, many other reasons why, you know, Austin wouldn't be a great place for us. But maybe in your travels, you can get down there. Just make sure you've got the, hopefully you've got some air conditioning in that mobile home there.
We definitely have AC. Going to be counting on it.
Got to worship with the people at Holy Word in Austin. Awesome. And that was neat. And saw Julie Wietzke, who we don't see too often. She works remotely, similar to you, Sally,
and right,
Tom
from our communications
on our team as well. So awesome. It was nice to see them.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like a good time. We'll be anxious to hear about that workshop you attended at some point too.
Oh yeah, we'll get into that later.
Good.
All right. Well, speaking of podcasts, that's kind of the topic du jour, the topic of the day. Every once in a while, we run across another Wells podcast. I wouldn't say there's a lot of them, and maybe there's many that we aren't aware of, Sally, but when we find one, especially good ones, we try and highlight them, get them on the show, and actually we've made a whole show of podcast today, and the Gird Up podcast by teacher Charlie Ungemacht was one that we ran across, you know, maybe a month ago, and we invited Charlie on the show to talk a little bit about what the Gird Up podcast is all about. Since he's a teacher, we had to wait till, and that's fine. We waited till school was out, where he had a little bit more time to talk with us. And he sat down with us for about 15 minutes and shared his experiences with podcasting as a, a public, somebody in the public eye. And it was neat to kind of hear his perspective on both the technology, but also the content. So let's take a listen or a view of Charlie Ungemacht and the Gird Up podcast. We're really happy today to have Charlie Ungemacht joining us, second grade teacher at Siloa Lutheran in Milwaukee. And maybe more of interest to us, a fellow podcaster, the Gird Up podcast. We just couldn't resist having Charlie on and talking a little bit about his podcasting adventures and share some stories maybe and get a sense for where he's going. But before we do that, we'd like maybe Charlie to introduce himself to the class and let us know a little bit about who he is, where he serves, what he does for fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Martin and Sally. I appreciate the invite. I'm a second grade teacher at Siloa Lutheran School. So a lot of times during the school year, I start to crave some adult conversations.
Yes.
Be able to talk to somebody that isn't 8 years old every once in a while. And so I was finding myself not having a hard time networking necessarily, but was craving some of those conversations with real men and men that I respect, and was starting to think, what excuse can I make to start having some of those conversations that are a little weird outside of sometimes an interview setting? And how can you kind of find a better way to do that? So tried a couple different things, started an Instagram page a while ago that just kind of fizzled out. And as I said a couple times on my own podcast, like every time the Lord slams a door, another one opens, which everybody hears that, but my nose is broken about 80% of the time. Mm-hmm. Because it's slamming so many doors on my face. So finally, I decided I was going to try and podcast and bought some just cheap podcast equipment and got on it. And this door hasn't gotten slammed yet. So
awesome.
We started cruising.
What do you do there at Slow other than teach second grade? Your moniker is Coach Ungemacht. I'm assuming there's some athletics involved there.
I don't get to do a lot of coaching at this moment at Siloa, but I did get to do a lot of coaching when I was over at St. Marcus for a couple years.
Oh, cool.
And then in the summers, I spend most of my summer on the road with Lutheran Vanguard of Wisconsin, which is Wells high school students get together and put together a marching band every summer. I get to be on staff with them. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good way to spend the summer. Yeah.
Excellent. Work on your tan while you're out there.
Yeah. I always have a pretty wicked sleeve tan by the end of the summer. Yeah.
Good stuff. So you were looking to start a podcast, and your tagline is exploring what it means to be a man of God. So obviously kind of focused toward the men for your listening audience. Tell us about the title, maybe. Where did Gird Up come from?
Well, it started out kind of as a joke. I was texting with a group of friends and saying, what should I call my podcast? And there were all kinds of crazy, silly, dumb names for it tossed around. I wanted it to be something creative, though, and something that nobody else was using. And one of my buddies was like, since you're struggling so much, maybe you should compare yourself to Job, call it the Gird Up Podcast. And so we kind of looked into the context of that, and really what's happening in that portion of Scripture is Job is finally giving in and whining and complaining. And the Lord just looks at him and goes, gird yourself up like a man. First of all, you haven't seen nothing yet. And second, if you really do trust me, if you really are the man that I said you are, when I looked the devil in the eye and said, go ahead and tempt him, then you would gird yourself up. And again, part of that moniker that you talked about at the tag at the beginning of the podcast says that to gird yourself up is to prepare yourself for hard work or battle ahead. So they'd literally take their long robes and tie them up around themselves. And that's how they prepare themselves, either to go out and do some hard physical labor, or they prepare themselves to go to battle. And those are two important parts of being a man, I believe. And I thought it was the perfect way to label the podcast.
Very cool. So what kind of topics do you address on your podcast?
We try and cover a lot of different stuff, try and cover a range of things. What we keep coming back to is obviously, what does it mean to be a Christian man? One of my favorite questions to ask is, what would you go back and tell your 18-year-old self? I've got some great answers to that, some pretty snarky answers to that too, but there's always a lot of wisdom in there. A lot of the men that I've interviewed are husbands and fathers as well. So we talk a lot about that extensively. Various ministries, both called workers and lay people, and the way that they do ministry, and the cool ways that they can serve their churches and congregations and families. We also, a lot of people tend to come out of struggles as better people than they were going into them. So it also tends to be a theme in a lot of the podcasts that the person I'm interviewing has gone through something, whether it be illness or a death or, you know, just personal struggles. And so we'll talk through that and kind of, talk about how they got through it and their spiritual habits and spiritual health and how they manage it. And then also just gleaning from their wisdom, situations that I've never been in that they have experienced, that someday if I have to be in that situation or if I have to go through something similar, I've got a foundation of knowledge as to what works, what doesn't work, and where we can go.
So, okay. So all interview based, or do you have a co-host or do you any monologues?
I do some monologues right away at the beginning. It was a lot of monologues before I got up the nerve to start interviewing people. It was some of those old podcasts. They're not quite embarrassing, but they're not quite up to the snuff I'd like them to be. But really what I did is I just started talking about things that were important to me. One of the questions I kind of asked myself was if I was talking to one of my younger cousins, or if I don't have a brother, but if I had a brother, what would I want to tell my little brother? And so started just recording some of those conversations with myself. And then as we kind of got into it, I said, I really want to do some interviews. So we started grabbing just men in my life that I respect. I wanted to share their wisdom with the world. And then really, like, it's no secret that I want to be a better man as well. And so a lot of these people I'm interviewing, I want to hear what they have to say. And it's just a plus that I get to record it then and share it with other people. So
you've been at it for a little while. It looks like you're on episode 52. Congrats on that. Martin and I can attest to being on the long road of podcasting and learning along the way. Have there been any aha moments or really outstanding interviews that struck you as super exciting?
Well, I can't really take credit for it, but my first interview with Kevin Festerling, he's a fantastic speaker and was really comfortable. And I was super nervous, brought him in my kitchen and was telling him, like, I was sweating. I was so nervous. And he really put me at ease and he did a phenomenal job with that interview. And he even kind of drove the interview, which was awesome. And I put that thing up and all of a sudden people started downloading it like crazy. And then about a month in, I already had 1,000 downloads, which might be a little deceptive because a lot of those podcasts were only 10, 15 minutes long. And so if you want to listen to them all, you got to download them all. But right away it took off and people wanted to hear what I was saying. Particularly some of the young people that I get a chance to work with in the summers that I don't get to see during the year. And I would even shout them out every once in a while on the podcast and they loved it and they were sharing it with their friends. And as you look at your statistics, you can kind of see where people are listening from and you can see, like, you can tell the fruits of that labor then where, like, you know, one of the kids from this high school is really into it and listening to everything you put up there like two or three times, and he's telling you that in an email, and all of a sudden you see just blossoming downloads in that city or in that area, and it's just really cool to kind of almost a shock to me that somebody actually wanted to listen to what I had to say, you know.
We're shocked every week too.
Right. You're like, he's like, what am I? It's always the ones that surprise you too. Like, I didn't think it was that great. And all of a sudden that one's leading for the month, but Yeah, it just keeps motivating me to keep doing it, keep jumping on it, give people more quality stuff to listen to, because it's clearly a need that's being met.
Right. So I'm sure some people that are listening, watching today would maybe be inspired to try something like this, but maybe intimidated by the tech, you know, behind it, and, you know, maybe even some of the, you know, the non-tech stuff. What kind of tech do you use? I notice you're using a site that I hadn't heard of before, pipa.io. So tell us a little bit about the online stuff and then also any of the gear you use.
Well, first of all, I am not a tech-savvy guy at all whatsoever. Like, I defer pretty much all that to somebody else as much as I can. But in this case, like, it's just me, so I had to figure it out. And it, once you really get into it, it's pretty easy to figure out. I started out right away. I knew I wanted to actually, like, get into it. I wanted to do it right. I also knew that if I invested a little money and time into it, that I would be a lot less likely to just bail on it. So I went on Amazon and found, like, the lowest grade professional stuff, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, like, at the very lowest end of the professional microphones, and I bought, a mixer with Phantom Power and everything for the microphones so that I had a good investment and I had good audio and everything right off the bat. And then I wouldn't have to mess so much with the computer because I can mix it all before it ever goes into the computer to begin with. And then I had bought a MacBook anyway that I'd love to use. I'm an Apple guy, so I love my MacBook. It's super user-friendly. And all I have to do is plug it in and GarageBand pops right up and I hit record and off we go. It's really easy to edit. I made like all the opener and the ending and everything. All of it is just stuff I made on GarageBand. And like I said, I'm not a tech savvy guy at all. So if I can figure it out, we're pretty good to go. When I first started, the first platform that I used was SoundCloud, which is a pretty good platform. It's very popular. I might be mistaken, but my understanding was the company was going through a few struggles.
Yep.
And their future was in doubt. And I got to the end of my free trial and somebody actually reached out to me from Pipa and just said, hey, you know, we're a small startup and we want to, you know, get people's podcasts on. We're trying to land Spotify as well. And we would love it if we could just get your, like, we can't guarantee your success or anything, but we'd love to get you on our podcast hosting site. And they offered me a better deal than anybody else did. And so I figured, you know, it's $20 a month. If it doesn't work out, I can switch to something else. And it's been great. It's been phenomenal. They got me on to, I didn't do any work to get on Spotify. They just sent me an email one day and said, we got to figure it out. Would you want to be on Spotify? And so I sent him an email back, said, absolutely, let's do it. And I haven't had any issues from there. Every once in a while, they'll do like an upgrade and it'll take a couple of days to figure it out. But beyond that, it's a phenomenal platform. What I really like about it is that I can schedule content. I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and hit, you know, upload if I put stuff up ahead of time. And then also anybody can, you don't have to have a Pipa account to listen to my podcast on the internet. With a lot of the other hosting sites, you have to like sign in and put your email in and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm on Pipa, you can just Google Gird Up Podcast, Larry Clark, and a little link will pop up and there's a website right there. You can download it and listen to it without ever having to join Pipa or pay any money. So I like that a lot.
Very good. So what about summer? Do you have plans to continue it at your regular pace during the summer? Are you going to back off a little bit? Or
I'm going to keep pushing and trying. I took this weekend off as kind of a little mini vacation. I went up into the North Woods and was totally disconnected from the internet, had no cell service.
Nice.
So I didn't put anything up this weekend, but I'll keep pushing and try and get as many interviews done as possible. And then hopefully have like a backlog then of stuff to put up so that when it gets into the busy parts of the school year, I'll have some in reserve. And I did that right away at the beginning too. I'd have a friend over and I'd say, hey, let's sit down right now and let's do 20 minutes of podcasting. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about and I'll save it. And if I ever need to use it, I can. If we don't, we don't. And those have actually turned out to be some of the most downloaded and most popular episodes because they are so conversational and just fun to listen to. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna keep trying to interview as many people as I can. So
nice. Nice. Well, we appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule for us. Very enlightening and inspiring. It's super to see these podcasts pop up, and the barrier to entry is so small at this point that if somebody's got a message or a ministry that they want to get on the air, it's not a difficult thing. So thanks for sharing your story with us, Charlie. Appreciate it. Blessings on your podcast and your ministry.
Thank you very much. You can find the Gird Up Podcast, like you said, on Pippa, on the iTunes or podcast app. And then we got lots of social media too. If you type in Gird Up Podcast, it'll be on Instagram and Facebook there too. So
this guy is a professional. He gets in the plugs before we say goodbye.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for your time, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. Right.
Have a good one.
First of all, thanks to Charlie for taking a little bit of a break from his recovery time from a hard year of teaching to talk about his Gird Up podcast. Interesting concept, and he does a nice job with it. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I love his attitude and how he kind of just did it. You know, he thought about doing it and he just went for it. And I think that's a great way to get started with podcasting or blogging or any ministry effort you want to undertake. Don't let the fear hold you back. Just try it and learn as you go.
Inspirational, I think, to people. Charlie would be the first to admit that he was not a tech savvy guy, you know, somebody that you'd maybe have as your tech director at school, but he had an idea of a ministry that he wanted to do outside of his normal responsibilities, and hopefully God is blessing that. Seems like it is being blessed, and I think inspirational the fact that if Charlie can do it, and I think he said this, anybody can. The techniques and the tools have gotten a lot easier to use. So I think the hard part is finding that concept and dedicating enough time and sticking with it.
Definitely a challenge there. We've talked to people through the years. We do our own podcast of things like daily devotions and Through My Bible, things like that. We've talked about Your Time of Grace, which is a video podcast. Got to have a lot of effort going into that. I think it comes out every single weekday. There are others out there. I think just from Holy Word in Austin, there's A Reason for Hope, Pastor Don Patterson. I think he does a radio show, and they turn it into a podcast. So lots of ideas and people out there doing it. And maybe one good way to get started is just to listen to some of them or watch some of them and figure out things they're doing that you like, and let that be a guide for how you might structure yours or begin to communicate using audio and video and the web.
Summer's a good time to experiment with that, play with that. You may have a little bit more time than you might have during the church year or the school year. We'll put some, links in the show notes to, some of these podcasts that we follow and, look up to a little bit. There are some tools, as we mentioned, that are requirements. So if you're just totally unfamiliar with how to record audio and video, that's going to be a learning experience, of course, but the tools are out there, and many of them are free. Audacity for the audio side is one that we would recommend. That's what Mike Hintz uses to record the daily devotion each day. So if you subscribe to that or have listened to that, he uses Audacity and a decent microphone. You can use built-in tools, on the Mac too. GarageBand is, I think, Charlie, if I remember correctly in the interview, I think that's what he uses, GarageBand. There's Adobe Audition. Some of these tools have more features than others, and some of them have some costs associated with them, but I think in general, most of these tools will do the job for the average, podcaster, unless you're, going to take it to the next level. So I think the technical stuff is not necessarily in the hardware and getting the audio, but getting it published, right, Sally?
Yeah, definitely. You want to have some way to communicate that. And Charlie shared his methodology. He uses that site Pippa that we talked about during the interview. So once he has the audio file, he publishes it to Pippa. And then puts the links and promo material on his Facebook page. So he doesn't really have a blog that he's publishing to or anything like that. It's more the hosting of that audio file, putting it out in the cloud so you can share the link with people. And then he's using Facebook to do that sharing. So, and once it's in the cloud, you can also share the link within the iTunes directories and things like that. So I think maybe Pippa did some of that for him. By using their service. So we personally use a blog. We use a WordPress blog for our Wells Tech show notes, but we also use a WordPress plugin called
PowerPress.
PowerPress. There it is. I was looking for the word in front of me. PowerPress. And that actually pulls the links into our blog post and puts them in the right format. I think you have to use enclosure tags and things like that in the XML. So PowerPress does all that heavy lifting for us on our Wells Tech blog. And we'll include a link to that WordPress plugin if you want to look into that.
Yep. But a real important part of this process is getting the word out, you know, publishing this into channels. And Sally, you live and breathe that every Wednesday, Thursday time frame as we do this weekly. Tell us a little bit about what you do to kind of get our show out on the internets.
Yeah, we have several different social media channels that we're a part of. So once the show is published, I immediately publish promo material and the video on Facebook and Google Plus on our channels, our pages there on those platforms. I also post the video as well as a link to the show notes page on Pinterest. So I pin the episode on Pinterest in a couple of different ways. And then finally, I tweet about it and and post it on Instagram. We love Instagram. So I also post the show on Instagram. So five different channels every week where we're just basically sharing the links to the shows to make people aware that something new is out there. Now, obviously, they could be subscribed to us on iTunes or on Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast, and they would get it in their feeds from that as well.
So just on average, just to kind of give our listeners an idea, how long does it take to do that sharing exercise for you per week?
I would guess 15 minutes or less, maybe 10 minutes or less.
And you use a tool too. You use Ripple to help you, right?
For a couple of them. I use Ripple for Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. But I manually post to Pinterest, Facebook, and Google Plus. Okay. Mainly because I want to get the video included and different things. So I use a combination of things. I like the promo pictures on some places. I like the video on other places. So it's a combination, but like you said, it doesn't take that long, maybe 10 minutes to do all five of those places. Yep.
Plus, our video goes up on Vimeo and YouTube, so they've got inherent subscription models too. So if people subscribe to your Vimeo channel or your YouTube channel, you'll get it there. And then ours gets up on wells.net, of course, too. So
if you do all the work to produce this great content, you want to make sure and get it out there where people can consume it, where they're most comfortable.
Yep. Yep. You got to get the word out. So so we're not going to go into a lot of detail on any of that stuff. We just kind of lightly touched on that. But there are some great guides out there. You can do a Google search, and then we'll also put a link to a couple of those guides as well. Lifehacker has one, and there's somebody, I don't have it in front of me, Sally, from EO Fire, just did a bang up job with screenshots and everything on just kind of the how to's of basic podcast publishing, lots of good links and those kinds of things. So the calls it the ultimate guide to podcasting and gets into some of the nitty gritty details of both content creation and then does a little video, YouTube video for a bunch of the segments. So does a nice job. So we'll put those links in the show notes. And like I say, don't be afraid of trying, trying something out. There's no harm. Don't need a lot of financial investment to kick the tires on this, but the ability to do this is within your grasp.
You know, Martin, I just had a thought of turning back the hands of time. The first time that I podcasted was with my husband and my little boys, and it was probably around 2005. And that's how we learned about it. We just made recordings with our kids and published them for our family to listen to, you know. So no fear. Just go out there and do it and see where it leads you.
Yeah, as Jason mentioned, Jason Schmidt mentioned last week, if you haven't listened to last week's show, he mentioned that as a possible end of school year activity, just have your kids develop or record a podcast, some kind of format, and you've got all the tools there. It won't be, you know, high fidelity, but even with a Chromebook, you can record an audio podcast and get it published. So The barrier to entry is pretty low.
Definitely.
Sally, let's move on to our news. Again, thanks to Charlie for joining us. I was neat that he would be willing to share that with us. And if you haven't signed up, especially if you're a guy, Gird Up Podcast is the place to go.
Definitely.
All right, news and tech. Big week last week for Apple fans.
Yeah, and we have an article that we want to share that talks about all the things that came out of Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference 2018. And they call it Little Things That Add Up, especially in iOS 12. So a new version of the mobile operating system on all those iPhones out there is coming out. And there weren't jaw-dropping moments, apparently, at the Developers Conference, but things that kind of tip their hat to important things that are going on, like fighting phone addiction, where you can actually use an app that's built in now to limit your screen time or limit your kids' screen time. Kind of a double-edged sword there, because they want you to use those screens, obviously. And so they also enhance the FaceTime group calls, so you can have up to 32
people at a time.
Yeah.
Can't remember the last time I was yearning for a FaceTime with 32 people, but at least it's good to know I can.
Yeah, definitely. And then finally, there's some information in the article about augmented reality and mm-hmm. how they're really putting some serious development behind augmented reality. They feel like that's going to really grow and boom. I was interested in the numbers quoted. Consumers are expected to buy 22 million VR and AR headsets and glasses this year. In 2022, just a few years away, the number should soar to 120 million units. So that's a $10 billion market there. So yeah. They're spending some money. They didn't really talk a lot about VR, the virtual reality concept, but focused more on augmented reality and adding things to what you're seeing right there in front of you. So right. Should be interesting.
One thing you didn't mention that's also in that article is an upgrade or, and this is not out yet. This will probably come out late summer or before fall, before the next iPhone gets released. One thing is an upgrade to Siri and her, I guess you could call her, integration with something called Shortcuts. If anybody, and I think I've maybe mentioned this on the show before, there's an app or was an app called Workflow, which is kind of a scripting app on your iPhone where you can put different activities together and automate, opening up a tip calculator and putting in 20%, those kinds of things where you can chain different events. And that seems like what Apple, when they bought Workflow, did to put to make this happen, and then slap Siri on the front so that you can custom create Siri commands, make her a little bit smarter, at least smarter the way you want to make her, to do things that you want to do. So open up a podcast and play Wells Tech. Open up your podcast app and play Wells Tech might be, a script or a shortcut that you could make and ask Siri to say, hey, play Wells Tech, and she'll know what to do. So I'm eager to see what that looks like and how well they implement that, but that was one thing that they demoed as well.
Excellent. There's some news and tech around Bible software as well. So something a lot more ministry related. And that is related to Bible Works. So Bible Works has been around since 1992, 26 years they've been in the market. And unfortunately, they are shutting down as of June 15th. So you want to head over to BibleWorks.com to get all the details. They're going to continue to support the current version, and you can actually still buy the current version at a reduced price if you want to get in on BibleWorks 10, I believe it is, before they shut down. But they are discontinuing development on the software, and you know, really encourage you to get a good copy of it and store your software key somewhere, because they're not going to answer any support contact or anything like that. So sad to hear that news. We actually got that message from Pastor Steve Daly, who serves over in South Haven, Michigan. He said, very sad news just came today. This is why I prefer open source software. There's usually a way for software project to keep going when it's open source. Somebody may be willing to take up the gamut and run with it or whatever, but not the case apparently for BibleWorks. It will be shuttering. The date is June 15th, so next Friday.
Yep. All right, let's move on to news in Wells. Wells Now.
Oh, yeah, there's always things happening in Wells as well. And a couple of things we want to mention here. Let's see if I can do a screen share and coordinate myself here. One is a brand new Facebook page just shared by our Wells Missions area. So we are encouraging you to head over to facebook.com/Wells Missions and like the page to keep up with events and news from home and World Mission Fields. Lots of inspiring stories there and other content they want to share with you. So check it out. They just published this on June 4th, so you're hearing about it right at the beginning of something exciting happening on Facebook. Awesome. And then one other thing to mention, and that is the upcoming event, Wells Night at Miller Park. That is happening August 3rd. That's a Friday night. And we have the ability to get discounted tickets. There's information on the Wells.net website about discounted tickets, as well as ordering a $5 t-shirt. You can even print a poster to display in your congregation if you want to get a group together from your church or whatever. Tickets prices are from $9 to $21 for the Brewers that night. And I wonder who they're playing. Does it say it here?
Rockies.
That's right.
Colorado Rockies.
Colorado Rockies. So August 3rd is the date, but the deadline is approaching, I want to say, end of July for the t-shirt orders. They're only $5, so yep. Show your Wells colors.
Great deal. And the Brewers are very good this year. They are in first place and exciting team. So
hopefully that'll still be the case on August 3rd.
Right. Yeah. That would be a good sign. All right. Let's move on to our tips and or picks of the week. Sally, what's your first pick of the week from your new home?
Brand new place to pick. I am picking something from our friends at TechSmith, and actually it stems off of an article that they posted called 50 Tips for Better Video. And so they actually list 50 different tips. There's categories, preparation things, where they talk about everything from getting feedback, storyboarding, all kinds of stuff. They've got audio tips, they've got video tips, they've got editing tips. And what I'm excited about is they put it all together in this PDF infographic. So you can see all these tips. If you want to read more about them, head over to the blog article. But I think this is just a great, great quick read on lots of things you can do to improve your production quality of any video projects you're working on. So definitely check it out. TechSmith is behind the software for Camtasia Studio, which is a great video editor, as well as Snagit and Jing. So they got lots of experience in regard to video production, and this just ties it all up in a nice package for you.
Very nice. My pick of the week is a book. And I searched the Wells Tech Archives, and I think back in 2011, this book came up. Maybe Gail Potratz, one of our former co-hosts, brought this book up. But I've been aware of this book, and I've read it a number of times. It's called A Whole New Mind by Daniel Pink. It's a New York Times and Business Week bestseller. It's got some age to it. It's 05, I think, initial publication. Pretty quick read, only 294 pages. It's not on audio on Audible, which is how I listen to it, only 6 hours. And if you do it a time and a half, it's less than that, which is kind of how I do it. I've read it. I'm on my third reading, I think, of it. I like the book. It's called A Whole New Mind, Why Right-Brainers Will Rule the Future. Mm-hmm. So it's a book about right-brain, left-brain activity. And I read it because it's a book that is referenced in Presentation Zen by Gar Reynolds, which is my text for the class I teach, Dynamic Classroom Presentations. It's not required reading for the class, but it's suggested reading. And it really does a nice job of kind of clarifying left brain and right brain thinking and how important the right brain is, which is that more creative side, that more abstract side in the process of education and in my case, in my specific use case, slide design or creating presentations, dynamic classroom presentations. He makes a great case that a presentation is not just a static academic exercise, but really needs some creativity to truly get the message across. And talks about things like design and story and empathy. And there's six aptitudes that he talks about that are really important to apply to any creative process. And that's no different for the creation of the a slide deck. So the research, it kind of reminds me a lot of Malcolm Gladwell's approach. Mm-hmm. Does a lot of research, has a lot of science to back up his hypotheses. And I think anybody who maybe is a left brain thinker, but you know, I'm thinking of principals in particular, is primarily left brain, but has right brainers working with them, for them, on the same faculty. This would be an awesome read for them. Summer's a great time to do this. Just, I think, a good book for anybody in education, but anybody kind of trying to figure out how to kind of engage both sides of the brain. So, quick read. It's available Kindle, hardcover, paperback, audio, even on a good old-fashioned CD, if that's your media of choice. So this is a book by Daniel Pink, A Whole New Mind. Excellent read. Take some time out this summer to maybe give it a read if you haven't already.
You know, I'm sure many in our listening audience do presentations quite often, Martin, and also probably have the opportunity to watch or be part of people's presentations or attend presentations. And I can think of people that really stick out in my mind as people that I relate to when it comes to presentations, or that really touch me with what they're saying. I get it. I appreciate their style or whatever. And some of the concepts in those books, I would think, or that book, would be some of the things that are coming into play subliminally or whatever as they're designing their presentations. So probably set you a notch above if you have those things in mind as you're doing your work. Yep.
Just a good thing to think about, to be conscious of and intentional about. So, mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to our ministry resource of the week.
And I based this on the time of year. I came up with a ministry resource that's related to our Wells Yearbook, the online version at yearbook.wells.net, available on mobile devices and on computer screens, laptops, whatever you're accessing it, you can get to yearbook.wells.net. And I want to specifically point out the organizations tab, because on that tab, you can find a church to worship at when you're traveling on your summer vacations or whatever it may be. And just a really powerful search tool with a lot of nuances that maybe people aren't aware of. The first one I want to point out is that it has a box for using your current location. So you don't even really have to know where you are to find a Wells Church. You can just click that box, perhaps with your smartphone, when you're vacationing somewhere, and it asks probably the first time if it can use your location, and then it bases its search off of your current location, and you can put in how close to that location with the proximity field here. It defaults, I think, to 20 miles within that location. Then there's the ability to filter. So perhaps you're just looking for churches, or you're looking specifically for churches with sign services or something like that. You could filter if you wanted to. And then all you have to do is click the search button, and you get results of Wells organizations within that search radius of whatever location. If you don't use the use my current location, you can certainly put in cities and state information, and it'll search anywhere based on that. I didn't filter it to just churches, so I'm seeing ECM and LES, or early childhood ministries, and Lutheran elementary schools, Lutheran high schools, college, everything in my search. But if I find a church I'm interested in, I can just click on the link of the name, and there I find all kinds of great information. I can get their contact information, phone, email, their website. I can find out about their worship services, and also there's little icons available that tell me if they're handicapped accessible, if they have hearing loops or sound enhancement equipment available, if they have sign services. It'll even tell you service times if they have that saved with us, if they do it on a regular basis. You can find out where they're broadcast on television, radio, or live streaming, and other information. There's even a link to get directions. So if you use that link, it takes you over to Google Maps, and it'll plot where the location is, and then you can use the directions button available to you to put in your current location, and it'll show you a map of how to get to the church in question. And that's exactly the route I take to get to St. Paul's Church. So Google's pretty smart about that.
Yep, and you even now saved a step. You don't have to go from the house to the car.
That's right. The car, so. Just drive this 40-foot RV over there and find a parking place. Yeah, right. Exactly. I want to go back, though, just one screen where everything was listed when you get your search results. And I just want to point out one icon you may not even be aware of. It's up in the upper right of the search results, and it looks like a little marker on a map. And when you click that icon, you can actually see all the search results plotted on a Google Map. So you're basically getting a Google Map with all the different organizations marked on it. And I can zoom in on the map and see more detail where things are located. Or I can actually zoom out, and magically, this is like a bonus, I'm not just getting the locations from my search results, I'm getting locations all across North America, basically. See, we actually have a Google Map out there that has all the different locations in North America plotted. So you can, use this map to zoom into any area and see where you can attend a church, or where you can find schools and those kind of things. So just a cool component to the online search that I think people who are traveling especially will make use of. So that's our ministry resource.
Very good. Mm-hmm. I think we're to the point in the show where we have community feedback, if there is any.
And I'm just looking. Yes, there is. Let me share my screen one more time and point out that Christ in Media Institute has a blog going where they're writing about all kinds of things about using media in ministry. This is out of our sister synod, Evangelical Lutheran Synod from Bethany Lutheran College, and Dr. Tom Custer is the administrator behind Christ in Media and responsible for a lot of this interesting content. Caught my eye recently because they've been doing a series on virtual reality, something we talked about earlier in the show. And most recently published an article called A Virtual Baptism. And that really kind of made me wonder what was in this blog post. So I think you'll find it an interesting read, as I did, talking about all different kinds of virtual reality. He's using a website called VR Scout to learn more about development on virtual reality, just to kind of explore what all is out there. And one of the things that came up with VR Scout was a church and a pastor. I want to say his name is DJ something. I'm sure it's right here in this article. Yeah. And they actually have done virtual baptism. Now, their thinking on baptism is probably a lot different than ours, where they're seeing it as a symbol or some kind of a declaration or turning point in someone's faith life. And funny, they actually said that they left the person underwater 10 minutes so they could fully enjoy the baptism experience or something like that. Not something you can do in real life, but in virtual reality, apparently that's possible. So an interesting read, and hearing Dr. Custer's take on it and learning more about virtual reality seems like a good idea, as the biggies like Apple are certainly paying attention to augmented reality and virtual reality. Just looking at what people are doing out there kind of opens up our thinking about possibilities and what the future might look like in ministry with these tools in place.
Very good. Sally, may I want to also mention how people can contribute and get their comments on the show?
That's a great idea, Martin. That just means I need to share my screen one more time for those that are watching video. I'm showing the Wells Tech website, wellstech.wells.net, where we post all of our episodes and all the links that we talk about during the show. You can find that in our show notes there. You can also find a great menu at the very top, a little small menu that has all the different social channels that we're a part of. I mentioned them earlier in the show. We have Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter. We're on Digo, where people can share links with us, Pinterest, Instagram. And then we have our own wiki. We have the ability to subscribe to the show on different podcast players. And we have the ability to email or voicemail Martin and I so that we can chime in on what your technology questions are, or so you can share your technology and ministry experiences. We'd love to hear from you. I think I failed to mention we have a Google group, so you can email the whole group and get some crowdsourced kind of responses to technology questions as well. That's really, really valuable, probably way more valuable than just Martin and I and our limited knowledge, but tapping into all the Wells Techers out there and asking your questions is a great way to go as well.
We'd love to hear from you as well. That really is kind of a highlight for Sally and I on the show. So take a couple minutes to share your thinking, thoughts, reactions. We would love to hear from you. Sally, video of the week.
Yep. And I guess this is pretty me-centric, but I came up with one called Top 5 Ways to Stay Safe on Public Wi-Fi, because I might be tapping into some public Wi-Fi as I journey down the road, and I'm sure everyone else does that at times as well. And it's reasonable to use it if you are very careful and proactive in the way that you use public Wi-Fi. So these are some great tips about using public Wi-Fi. So check it out. It's a 3-minute video, and you might learn something in the process.
Very good. Can be a scary place. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up next week, summer's here. And those of you that are Wells Tech veterans know that that means that the show morphs a little bit. We try and shorten it up, keep it a little bit lighter. We know that maybe you don't have as much time or desire to dig as deeply into tech and ministry stuff. And we need a break as well. So we try and change things up. And very often that means we do a little reading, you know, a little professional development. And that's what we're going to be doing this summer.
That's right. We have a book that we're going to explore. I have a copy right here. And I will just tease and say we're planning to eat some frogs this summer. So I'm excited because I will actually be in Milwaukee next week and able to record the podcast with you side by side, Martin. We're going to kick off our book discussion. And like I said, just be prepared to eat some frogs because we've got some frogs on the plate.
I can't wait. All right. Well, Sally, I think the first show from Mary D was a success. I would rate it an A+. Nice job. I think this thing's going to work.
Well, God willing, we're going to try it and make it work week to week. Yes.
Very good. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.